This episode of the Daily Brief podcast is brought to you by Pez Motion Studio, tactfully taking on cross-cultural challenges since 2001.
Hello, I am Paige Albiniak, editorial director of Promax BDA, and this is the Daily Brief podcast. Today, I again have with me my friend, Mr. Television, Mark Berman, editor-in-chief of Programming Insider. Hello, Mark.
Hello, Paige. How are you?
I'm pretty good today. How are you?
Oh, we both survived premiere week, so that's a good sign.
Yeah, so today we are going to talk about fall television premieres, many of which happened over the past week. Quite a few are still to come, but we're going to talk about what we've seen so far and then a little bit about what's coming up. So I'm going to just take us through the whole week, Monday through Sunday. At the end, we will talk a little bit about football, okay?
Yes.
Okay. All right, so we'll start with Monday night, as one does, which saw the arrival of new shows Young Sheldon and Me, Myself, and I on CBS and The Good Doctor on ABC. And The Brave on NBC. Does that sound right, too, or did I miss any?
I think it sounds pretty brave. You got them all.
All right, so Young Sheldon was probably the show everybody thought was going to work, and it definitely did. It turned in a 3.8 in Nielsen's final Live Plus same-day ratings and came out of The Big Bang Theory, which did a 4.1 in its 11th season premiere. Young Sheldon saw 17.2 million viewers. That's huge. Leading out of Big Bang's 17.65 million viewers. So, is that about what you expected from that show?
I expected a lot of tune-in. I didn't expect the retention out of Big Bang to be that solid, you know, because normally anything airing out of the Big Bang Theory dropped 30 to 35%. I figured this would hold 85 to 90. So, this is a really good start for that show. Really good start.
Yeah, an incredible start. I agree. And then I feel like it's a little bit too bad because they're going to do that one episode and then it's not coming back for a month because of football. So you don't get to really build on that momentum.
However, you know, I thought about that. You know what this reminds me of? It's not as extreme, but if you might recall way back when, Fox premiered Glee at the end, you know, at the end of April. I'm sorry, May, at the end of the season. Did the pilot episode, and we didn't see it again until the fall, so you had to wait all summer. This is, you know, Young Sheldon's coming back November 2nd, so in some ways, it might build the anticipation, because personally speaking, I already saw it, and I watched it again, and there's something about actually watching it when it's really on that feels different, but I really liked it. I thought it just was really good, and obviously, if it's out of the Big Bang Theory, it's going to remain a hit, but that's a really good start. So I'll be watching on November 2nd. A lot of people will.
So what did you really like about it? And B, why do you think it feels different when you watch it actually on TV?
Well, you know, what I really liked about it was I thought, you know, you have this character who's iconic, you know, Sheldon Cooper, and he's so quirky and so bizarre. And then you meet young Sheldon and you see so many of the same, you know, why he is the way he is, same mannerisms. I think the casting is brilliant. The fact the mother is Laurie Metcalf's daughter in real life. So I feel like I'm watching, you know, Laurie Metcalf plays Sheldon's mother on Big Bang Theory. And this actress, her name escapes me, but she's the daughter of Laurie Metcalf. So it's sort of like watching Laurie Metcalf. So the casting is great. And I think it explains a lot of why Sheldon is the way he is. And in terms of watching it on TV, you know, we working in this business get the pilots. So we could watch it on our laptops. We could do whatever we want. There's just something about actually sitting at home on TV, watching it, that just feels like real, you know. It just really felt good. So I'm really excited about it. I obviously, they already renewed it for a full season, you know, the day that it premiered. So this show is here to stay.
That actress's name is Zoe Perry, and she does quite resemble Laurie Metcalf. I liked Young Sheldon. I was really looking forward to it. I like that little actor, Ian. I was like, oh my God, he's so annoying. And then he kind of redeems himself at the end. So, okay, we'll sort of see if you can, because I feel like in the Big Bang Theory, you've got all these people around Sheldon that kind of take the sting out of him. And here, you sort of have that too. You have the brother, the sister, even the parents are somewhat annoyed by Sheldon. But so we'll see if they manage to sort of balance that out across the cast. I think that's the challenge.
Yeah, you're right about that. I didn't think about that. But you know who really was a standout to me? The young actress who plays his twin sister. I think she
was adorable. Yeah.
She was really good. She was really good. And so, yes, I plan on sampling it again and staying with it, and we'll see what happens. But, you know, I always, when CBS first announced it, I thought to myself, well, what will happen? Eventually, the Big Bang Theory has to end. It can't run forever.
Right.
So let's assume Big Bang, let's say it goes off in two seasons. It's renewed for the next two seasons. Will Young Sheldon be able to stand on its own without Big Bang? But, okay, it's only one episode, and CBS is very happy. But I think there was a bigger hit, actually, on Monday night of the new shows that I was really stunned about.
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
The show I'm talking about? The Good Doctor.
No,
wow.
I think Young Sheldon was the biggest hit of the night, but The Good Doctor did well as well.
I was floored by that. I mean, when you have a show that builds out of its lead-in by double-digit percentages, and, it's an hour drama, and it's, if the audience stays with it at 10:30, particularly when it's, that late at night, heart levels go down. And the numbers go down, but I was really floored by that show.
They did a huge amount of promotion for The Good Doctor. They had almost like a half a billion ad impressions ahead of The Good Doctor, so they must really be betting on it. It did a 2.2 among adults 18-49, 11 million viewers. Comparably, NBC also introduced a new show, The Brave. That opened at a 1.3 in the demo, 6 million viewers. And then CBS had Scorpion come back at 10 with a 1 in the demo and 5.75 million viewers. So, yeah, so compared to all that, I think it did do very well. I think it did surprisingly well, although I do think NBC put a lot of emphasis on it.
Oh, they absolutely did. They absolutely did. But, anyone that I spoke to after the fact loved it. I didn't hear
one
bad thing
about
it.
That one I did not watch.
Oh, yeah.
Did you watch that one?
Which one?
Good Doctor.
Oh, did I watch it? Yes, I watched it. I had previously seen it, and I'm like, well, let me watch it now. And I did watch it. And, I was a very big fan of Bates Motel. So to see Freddie Highmore, it's sort of like he's Norman Bates as a doctor. But this guy is a brilliant actor. I mean, he is, he plays a doctor with a form of autism, and he just really conveys it well. So I'm really optimistic about that. But, you have to also be cautiously optimistic, because most new shows in the second week drop 10 to 20%. That's the norm.
Totally.
And then by the third week, they'll drop another 5 to 10 in the third. And then usually by the fourth week, they'll settle into what they're going to do. So we'll see what happens tonight. It should be interesting. Or the second episode.
Yeah. I agree with that. And then I feel like the rest of the night, CBS, they did great with Big Bang and Young Sheldon. I think that hour might be the highest rated hour of the week, actually, of scripted shows.
Yes.
But then at 9, you had Kevin Can Wait come back for season 2. It did okay at 2.3 in the demo, 10 plus million viewers. There was some controversy around this show because they killed off Aaron Hayes, replaced her with Leah Remini, who played his wife in King of Queens. And people didn't really feel like they treated it. Like, she was just gone, and they kind of just ignored it. People weren't so happy with how they treated it. What did you think about all that?
I thought it was awful. And let me tell you something. I was a fan of season 1 of Kevin Can Wait. I was a big fan of The King of Queens. And I like the kind of comedy that Kevin James does. I think Erin Hayes did a very good job. Look, it wasn't easy coming in. And I thought she did a good job. And the fact that they bring in Leah Remini for the last two episodes of season 1, and they decide she belongs on the show, not Erin Hayes, and I thought they handled it very poorly. They barely mentioned her. It was like it didn't even seem to matter all that much. And then suddenly Leah Remini is hanging around the house. Like, she doesn't really belong there. So obviously, that's where the sparks are going to be, and I just don't think it works. I was really upset with it. But, listen, it's the first episode of the second season. It's a big change. We'll see what happens. And I'm going to I like his kind of comedy. I just was really disappointed how they handled it. I didn't like the way they handled it.
It's funny, too, because at press tour, Kelly Hall was asked about this, and they were like, oh, yeah, well, they'll definitely handle it respectfully, blah, blah, blah. And then, I feel like sort of typical CBS fashion, just brushed it off, and then they didn't really handle it at all.
No, they didn't. And then, what really struck me as odd at the press tour in the summer was a question was asked by someone in the audience regarding, the fact that, Leah Remini's coming in, and is this going to be like the King of Queens? And CBS kind of like rolled their eyes and said, well, what do you mean? I mean, what do you expect? I mean,
why is this a question? Yeah.
Why is it a question? But, I think honestly, I think it was very disrespectful the way they handled it. It was kind of like she didn't exist. She was the mother on the show. She wasn't exactly, you know, the wacky next door neighbor. And I just don't think Lee or Emeni popping in the house and hanging out there now suddenly is a logical fit. So I think this is one of those cases where they took something that was, you know, working. It wasn't a big hit, but it was respectable. And I think they really risked, made it, you know, they risked it working in season two. So again, we'll have to see, but I'll watch again. I'll sample it again. We'll see what happens. But, you know, one episode in, I was very disappointed.
Yeah. Then that led into Me, Myself, and I at 9:30. That stars Bobby Moynihan off of SNL and John LaRoquette. That also, they did a 1.6 in the demo and about 7.5 million viewers, which is sort in this day and age is sort of okay, but not great either. So it's a little, you know, well, again, Big Bang and Young Sheldon are going to move to Thursday anyway. But Monday used to be really strong for CBS, and I feel like they just aren't, they're having a hard time restocking that night.
Oh, yeah, they're definitely having. You have to remember that Me, Myself, and I is going to be anchoring on 9 o'clock into 9JKL. And you have Kevin Can Wait that's going to slide to 8 o'clock. So, oh, wait a minute, I got that wrong. They're going to have Superior Donuts at 9:30. But whatever. It's not the strongest night for them anymore. And if Kevin Can Wait does not really, if that loses steam in season two and that's the anchor for the evening, that could be a problem for CBS. So that's definitely problematic. And quite frankly, I didn't like Me, Myself, and I. I found it to be very difficult to watch the way they kept going back and forth. I think of the three ages of the character, I like him as a young child, as opposed to being 40 or as opposed to being in his 60s. I like, you know, and I was getting very dizzy watching it. So, I you know, I mean, make up your mind. Are you 40? Are you not? How old are you? So, no, I didn't like it. And, yeah, CBS is definitely getting a little they're getting tired on Monday. I mean, again, the Big Bang Theory led off the night, and it's and week two, it's still Big Bang Theory into 9JKL. So once Big Bang moves to Thursday, this could be a problem for them, without a doubt.
And then at a point, they will bring back Life in Pieces to Monday night. Is that correct?
They're bringing Superior Donuts to Monday, and Life in Pieces is Thursday, I believe.
Oh,
unless
Thursday,
I'm wrong
okay.
about that.
No,
yeah,
I'm probably wrong.
But, you know, a show like Life in Pieces is not exactly a show that
not
can enter a time period.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of a show that basically does what it does, and it survived out of its lead-in, and it's respectable. But if you move it to 9 o'clock or 8 o'clock, it's not strong enough to anchor an evening. And that's the problem with the CBS comedies now. They don't really have, you know, aside from the Big Bang Theory or maybe Mom, there really isn't that much, or maybe Kevin Can Wait, which they might have hurt now. They're not really, you know, they don't really have anything that can anchor hours. So they're kind of, you know, losing a little steam in that sense. So that's a little tricky, you know, that could be a little tricky for them.
That's their problem and everybody's problem. I mean, I think everybody has maybe a standout comedy, but having a whole night of comedy that works really well there's a few lineups, we'll mention them as we go, that are good, but I mean, you just don't have those big hits. Right now, I would say Big Bang is it, and then we'll see what happens with Young Sheldon. And then everything else is, I mean, Big Bang is like double the ratings of Modern Family at this point.
Oh, Big Bang's amazing. And then, yeah, I was right about Life in Pieces is Thursday at 9:30 out of Mom, and they have Superior Donuts at 9:30. It's a little confusing already, and particularly the way they open the season. You know, they move everything around, so it's a little confusing. But yeah, I mean, Big Bang is in a class of its own. Nothing comes close to it, and it's in season 11. It's crazy.
Yeah. It's crazy. All right. The other thing, then we need to get off Monday or else we'll be here for 4 hours. But the Brave also opened on NBC, and it did a 1.3 in 18 to 49 and nearly 6 million viewers. It was not super impressive in my view.
No, not at all. Out of The Voice, it totally dropped the ball. And again, remember, most new shows in the second week will drop. So this is not a good start at all. Not at all.
Yeah, not for Mondays. Although now let's go to Tuesday on NBC, which is where we see This Is Us premiere. It hit a season high in its second season premiere with 3.9 in the demo, nearly 13 million viewers. I believe that when Live Plus 7 is counted, This Is Us is the biggest, at least scripted drama of the year. Is that correct? I don't think it was the biggest scripted comedy, though. I mean, scripted series.
Drama. Yes, drama. You're right about that.
So we'll see it build. But all right. So first of all, what are your thoughts on This Is Us? Is that what you expected it to do? And do you watch it? Are you a This Is Us lover or
hater?
Oh,
I love it. I love it.
We're both fast together, so that's fine.
They know how to make the, you know, seriously, if you're Kleenex, you should be sponsoring this show, because the ending, I was speechless. When I saw the way the episode ended, I was speechless. I was like, thump, what just happened? Love that show. I absolutely love it. It's a great show. And what a hit for NBC. Enormous. There is one thing I'm concerned about, though, because I'm always concerned about something. they're really building up how Jack died. You know, they made it seem like, well, he, you know, died in this fire. You don't know that. They're going to do the big reveal after the Super Bowl in January. I'm a little concerned that they're making such a big deal out of it. Once they reveal it, is that going to be like, okay, we don't care anymore? Which I don't think will happen. That's not going to happen, but I love the show. I absolutely love it.
I love the show, too. I do think that's a danger. I hate the fact that Jack died. I feel like I just hate it because I like Milo and that role so much,
right.
But I get why. I mean, they needed a sort of, it's part of the story engine. You can't have this show without that part of it, but yeah. I think we're going to get to this in a minute, but I think that Empire is sort of a cautionary tale for This Is Us, because Empire started so enormous. Empire is also much more of a plot chewer, I think, than This Is Us, but Empire started so huge, and now in season 4, I believe it is, it's much more down to earth than it was.
Yeah, well, the thing with Empire was, it was, you know, the too much too soon syndrome. I mean, in today's environment, when you launch that big in this environment, it's very rare, and it was so enormous, there was only one place to go, and that's down. However, what I really liked about Fox's performance on Wednesday was the fact that they moved Star to 9. Well, no, Star, they kept Star at 9, they moved Empire to 8, and it gave Star a boost, which helped Star, because without it, so the two of them work very well together, so that's a good sign. But Empire at 8 is weaker than it was at 9, but it still does have a large audience. But not like it used to be. Not anywhere close.
We're going to come to that when we talk to Wednesday. I'm going to finish up Tuesday. Although This Is Us is the huge story of Tuesday. There wasn't really anything else. This Is Us, I think, really hurt Bull at 9 p.m. where Bull and its sophomore premiere did a 1.3 in the demo and 10 million viewers. And all of CBS's Tuesday night lineup is down like nearly 30%. It's really fallen off. You also had NBC premiere Law & Order 2 Crime the Menendez Murders, which did a 1.6 in the demo and 6 million viewers. I sort of thought that might have been a thing, but I don't think people were too into it.
I think NBC squandered an opportunity on Tuesday. I think they had a show so big, you know, This Is Us, with so much lead and support. Why would you waste it on something that already is generic before it even premiered? And again, I'm not knocking Law & Order. I'm surprised it didn't do better. I'm surprised because, again, it's out of This Is Us, and it's a known brand. But I think people at this point are really just basically tired of hearing about the Menendez brothers. It's enough is enough already. It's move on to something else.
Trying to capitalize on OJ. Like, OJ did so well when they revived it for the 20-year. Then we saw JonBenet come back, and now we're seeing the Menendez murders, you know, brothers come back. And I don't think it's working, but just like anything in TV, everybody runs out to copy it, and it doesn't work at all like the first time.
Right. I think it's time to come. I think that I would have rather have seen something more creative out of This Is Us that they could have capitalized as opposed to this, but it is what it is.
Yeah. So the rest of Tuesday night, at least on that first week, was not too exciting. ABC is going to bring back its Tuesday night comedy lineup, which is Fresh Off the Boat, The Middle, Black-ish, and then tomorrow night, The Mayor will debut, which that show looks good with its pilot, and then Kevin probably saves the world, which that show does not look good in its pilot. So we'll see what tomorrow night looks like. But I mean, it probably won't be that high rated, but I do think The Middle, the Blackish and The Mayor are all solid shows.
Well, the middle's leading into Fresh Off the Boat. Then you have Blackish. Then at 9:30 on, oh, The Mayor is at 9:30 on Tuesday. Is that where, you know, you get so crazy with these schedules.
Yeah, because everything moves around, too. Yeah, it's confusing.
That's right. They moved American Housewife out of Modern Family. I think, you know, the show, I've been saying this now for 8 years. I'm going to say it again. I think the show that's probably the most underrated in primetime is The Middle. This is a show that, you know, got lost in the Modern Family hoopla, never got really any attention. It was always consistent. ABC moved it to Tuesday last season when it was entering season 8, and it did relatively well. And they're ending it, you know, the way a show should end while it still, you know, has an audience. And hats off to that show. And Eden Cher as, you know, the daughter, Sue, I've been saying for 8 years, why doesn't the Emmys recognize this actress? She is so good in that role. But, you know, so I think ABC will be respectable tonight. It's not going to be huge. They're not going to, the Blackish, the critics love it, but it doesn't have a huge audience. And
yeah,
I think let's say The Mayor holds 80% of the Blackish audience. And I don't think Kevin Probably Saves the World has any shot of succeeding. Do you?
No.
First of all, you're putting a name
in parentheses. Like, that's not going to work right off the bat.
Well, let me ask you a question. You're at home watching TV. You come to work the next day, or wherever you are. You're at the supermarket, wherever you are. Hey, let's talk about TV. Did you happen to watch Kevin Probably Saves the World? Nobody's going to remember the name of that show. And they already... I mean, who's going to remember that? Come on.
No, it's too bad because I love Jason Ritter. I loved him in Parenthood. I think he's great. I just, I don't think that show's going to work. But ABC has several of those. They have that one. I think 10 Days in the Valley, which we'll talk about a little bit about later. They just have a bunch of shows that just seem like burn-offs right out of the gate.
Right.
Yeah. All right, I'm going to go on to Wednesday night. So we already talked a little bit about this, Empire and Star. I mean, again, it's not huge. They did a 2.4 and a 1.8 in the demo, respectively, and then they did 7 and 5.4 million viewers. And if you think about what Empire did, you know, in seasons 1 and 2, that's piddling in comparison. But I still think that's pretty much that was the best performance of the night, although, yeah, because Modern Family did a 2-1, and nothing else was really close. But in general, Wednesday is a little bit low business. What was your take on it?
Well, I don't think there was anything unusual. I think Empire did exactly what I thought it would do. And as you said, it's way down from that premiere season. However, it's still Fox's highest rated regularly scheduled series by far. And, you know, I don't think Star ever did a 1.8 in 18 to 49, so that's a very respectable number out of a 2.4 for Empire. So that's good. What amazes me about Wednesday, season after season after season, you have Survivor, which also doesn't do the numbers that it used to do. But listen, if you, 8.3 million viewers, a 1.8 in the demo, and those numbers will go up with Live Plus 7, and the minute that show starts, within before the first commercial break, I'm already addicted for the season. And it's amazing. It's amazing how this show just has really staying power. And then you have SEAL Team, which is a very traditional CBS, you know, crime solver or, you know, drama, whatever you want to call it. It did almost 10 million viewers. It didn't do great in 18 to 49, but we knew it wouldn't because it's going to attract older viewers, particularly men. And that's who watches CBS, and it works for them. So if it works, why not? I think the big disappointment to me is Designated Survivor.
Yeah.
I mean, look at that number. Look at last year. It opened. It was literally twice the size of that. And I think they really hurt the show when they took it off the air for 3 months. I think people forgot about it.
You see a lot of that with, you know, some of these shows that opened well, both this season and other seasons. So, like, Designated Survivor, I would say Bull this year. In previous years, Blacklist. Blacklist is down to, like, a tiny number. I think it's actually in season 4. But it was a huge hit when it first opened. And also Blind Spot, same thing. Blind Spot was a big show in its first season. Now it's in season 3, and it's not doing that much business.
Well, Blacklist started and Blindspot started Monday at 10 o'clock out of The Voice, and they had the lead-in support. Then when you take a show that's on at 10, you put it on at 8, when traditionally you don't see that type of show, it's hard to find. So I think the Blacklist did exactly what I thought it would do for NBC. What was really a little surprising, I think, Law & Order SVU was down. It was beaten by SEAL Team, and I'll be curious to see what happens as the weeks progress. Now, Law & Order SVU is in season 19. So you already know damn well NBC is going to bring it back for a 20th because it's going to tie its parent, Law & Order. But, you know, when you think of a show like SVU way back when, this was a 15 million viewer show. Now it's a fraction of that, but it still resonates. But it did open quietly this year, so it did come down a lot. It did. We'll see what happens.
19 seasons. I think Survivor, this is season 35.
Well, that's where that's where you have to qualify. When they say season 35,
right,
remember,
it's like two seasons a year, but it started in 2000. It's been on for quite a while.
Paige, if it was in season 35, I would be another 17 years older. I mean, I don't want to rush this. I'm already in trouble now. I'm already in trouble now. I don't want to get to that age. But but I mean, it's in its 35th edition, and I don't know if I should brag about this. I've never missed an episode.
It's funny because you just started talking about it, and I had a question for you about how you were a big Survivor fan, but you just beat me to it talking about it. So
I love it. I absolutely love it.
I think it's with CBS, though. I mean, with a lot of these shows, actually, when we get to Thursday night, we'll talk about this, too. It's like, it ain't broke, don't fix it.
Right. Now, this is a show. If you remember, it was a Thursday night staple, and CBS said, let's move it to Wednesday. And every year after year after year, it's relatively consistent. So it's amazing. It's just one of those things. So technically it's in its 17th or is it its 18th year, really?
Yeah.
That's a long time. That's a long time. And it has no signs of stopping ever. So Jeff Probst really got lucky with that job.
Yeah. So I think also, I mean, this lineup doesn't do big numbers either, although Modern Family's down so much, but ABC does have a nice comedy lineup on Wednesday nights with The Goldbergs, Speechless, Modern Family, American Housewives. It performs sort of mediocrely, if that's a word, but they are quality shows, I think.
Well, The Goldbergs, you know, when you look at the numbers, it always registers an 18 to 49. I was a little disappointed to see Speechless drop so much from the Goldbergs, but that's what happened in season one. And then Modern Family perks up, but again, like you said, Modern Family doesn't get anywhere near the ratings it used to. Not at all.
No. Mm-mm.
Not at all.
It's interesting, too, because the Goldbergs just went into syndication this year, so it'll be interesting to see if sometimes that will help a show in prime time. People find it in syndication, and then they come to it in prime, so we'll see if that helps it at all.
I have a problem watching that show because it just rings a little too true for me. So I don't want to be like seeing a father screaming at, you know,
I was going to say, like, because your dad didn't wear pants, or you don't wear pants, or what's
the issue? Well, thankfully, my father wore pants, but I remember kind of that mentality back then. Not that he was a bit, it was sort of like watching The Wonder Years, the dad, that kind of a parenting.
It's definitely, so, I mean, it's very inspired by The Wonder Years. The creator has said that, Adam Goldberg has said that.
Oh, without a doubt. But for ABC, I mean, it's got years of life ahead of it. They're, you know, it's one of their staples, so that's not going anywhere, particularly now that The Middle's going to be ending.
Yeah.
So, you know, what they should do with The Middle, by the way, I hate to go back to Tuesday, they should end the show where Patricia Heaton wakes up in bed opposite what's Ray Romano.
No,
it's all a dream.
They definitely not end it like
that.
I hate that. I know everyone loves that Newhart ending. I'm like, no dream endings. It would be kind of funny, but he's busy doing something on Epix, or isn't he on? He's on Get Shorty on Epix, I think.
Right, Get Shorty. Right, which has Shorty ratings, actually, but okay. Perhaps
it's on Epix, yeah.
Not to
forget this, but CBS also premiered SEAL Team, which you mentioned. It did a 1.5 in the demo and 10 million viewers at 10. That's pretty good numbers for 10 o'clock.
Well, it's at 9 o'clock. It leads into Criminal Minds.
Oh, is it 9? Okay, sorry.
Yeah.
Was it 10?
Yeah.
Criminal Minds.
Criminal Minds, which, you know, it's interesting. I remember way back when having a conversation with Kelly Kyle at CBS. When Criminal Minds was facing Lost, I said to Kelly Kyle that Criminal Minds is going to beat Lost in total viewers, and it's going to outlive it by years on end. And he's like, well, we'll see what happens. I was right about that. I mean, it's in season 13, and it's still okay. I mean, it's not what it used to be either, but it's in its 13th season.
I mean, nothing's what it used to be, so it's fine.
No, but listen, when you get to season 13, that's pretty impressive. That's a long stretch.
Especially because didn't Criminal Minds have a bit of cast turnover, too?
Like, oh, Mandy Patinkin
left, and yeah.
Oh, everyone. I mean, you know, it's had a lot of turnover, you know, a lot of it over the years. And they keep bringing in new, you know, they keep bringing in new players and they freshen it up. But it's basically, it's the same format as it's been, you know, all these years. And then, of course, you know, last year they lost. And again, his name is escaping me also. I'm having a memory lapse. He was on Dharma and Greg. He was
Criminal
Minds. Right, Thomas Gibson left, not on a positive note, and he was a major, you know, star on that show, and he left the show, but it's still chugging along.
Yeah, the cast turnover, I think, can really kill a show. Again, we talked about it a little bit with Kevin Conway, and I think, and we'll get to this on Friday night, but I think it's interesting what happened with Once Upon a Time. I sort of feel like if you're going to get rid of most of your cast, maybe you just call it a day.
Right, exactly. They just won't give up on Once Upon a Time. This has to be the last season. Has to be.
Yeah. Well, we'll get to this on Friday night because, you know, Friday night's a little bit dead. All right, so let's go to Thursday night, though, which to me, the big winner was Will and Grace. And you and I discussed this. I am not a nostalgia viewer, but I actually really enjoyed the return of that show. I was surprised. I was like, oh, this is – I mean, it's silly, but it's so snarky, but it's fun. I don't know. What did you think of it?
Well, you know what? Initially, and we had talked about this, initially I liked the show when it first aired. Then by, like, the fourth or fifth season, and I said, you know what? These characters are not progressing. And
no, they don't progress. But that's partly what's funny about it.
Yeah, I mean, Jack, you know, Jack McFarlane, the character, he's pushing 50 already. I mean,
I think they all are.
A little more. Can you? Well, I should talk, right? But I mean, can you be a little more serious? But I liked it. I actually liked it. I do have one bit of sad news about the show. I don't know if you know this. This is kind of sad. Shelley Morrison, who played Rosario, they're going to be killing off. They're going to mention that Rosario died. And
she didn't. Oh, wait. That actress did die, or she is not?
No. Shelley Morrison, as a matter of fact, I recently just spoke to Shelley. She's alive and well. And now she's alive and well. And she said that they offered her an opportunity to come back, and she just didn't want to do it. And I'm really sorry about that, because I, in the original run, thought they wasted an opportunity with her. I thought she was a great character. But we'll see what happens. I'm going to watch it again this week. And I thought the opening was very, very funny. I thought they did a good job. They all look the same. They haven't been on the air in 11 years. They all look pretty much the same.
They don't look the same.
Well, I mean,
they look 10 years older to me. I mean, they look good,
so.
But they look 10 years older.
Do you think so? I don't think so. No, I didn't see it. I looked at them and said, you know what? I mean, if I go back and look at myself 11 years ago when the show ended, and then I would say, boy, I've gotten old. They don't seem that way, but okay. Okay, it's an opinion,
but they didn't look like they had been, like, stuck in time. I think that the Rosario thing, that was something that came up this summer. I sort of feel like, I don't feel like it's sad. I feel like if she doesn't want to come back, then make your choice. That's cool. The one thing, though, is considering the topics that they're dealing with this year, which obviously, if you're talking about Trump, immigration is a topic, there would be a lot to do with her around that topic.
Right. Right.
So in that sense, it's a little bit too bad.
It's a shame. Like I said, I always thought that I thought she was a standout. They wasted her but you know, it's the kind of show that it's just silly nonsense, and that these characters are never going to progress. They totally, you know, abandoned the storylines that how they ended it, like it didn't, none of that existed.
I know, but I thought that was funny too. Which again, I just said I hate dream things, but in that case, it just was funny that it was a dream that Karen had, and they were like, okay,
right,
just miss
right.
it. I mean, it's a sitcom. It's not that weighty. Like I don't have to get that ensconced in what happened in the finale 11 years ago. I don't care.
Right. I guess so. Listen, if Roseanne could come back with John Goodman, who died, who they killed off in the last episode, I guess anything's possible, right?
Yeah,
and John, and let's go back to Dallas. Bobby Ewing, Patrick Duffy walked out of the shower. So, okay, I guess you could do it. And it's silly nonsense, and it got started out really well. It's not going to do the same this week, but for NBC, it's going to be a major improvement over anything that they've had in comedy in years.
Oh, huge. I mean, it did a 3 in the demo and 10 million viewers, but a 3
right.
in the demo, I don't know what it's going to stay. How, you know, I think, do you think people, there was sort of, oh, I'm going to go check this out quality to that first episode. So we'll see how it holds on. And they hope it holds on since they renewed it for season 2 right away. But, I mean, as far as that opening goes, they have to be really happy with that.
Oh, I think so, without a doubt. I think they are extremely happy. And good for them. And one show that I really like on NBC that nobody really talks about or really watches is Superstore. I think it's a great show.
And
great
so that
show.
Night they also had The Good Place and Great News, right?
Yes. And, you know, those are comedies that they're a typical NBC comedy now. They're single camera. They're kind of like niche. They don't have a large audience. They're not always easy to understand, you know, so it's nice to see something like Will and Grace just that completely stupid and anybody could understand it. You know what I mean? So
yeah.
Good for them. Good for them.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. So then over on ABC, they returned Grey's Anatomy. So speaking of like shows that have run for a long time, that show came back for season 14 in a 2-hour premiere, did a 2.3 in the demo, 8 million viewers. I mean, that's a show also that's sort of down from the high highs it had. But still, it was the second highest scripted program of the night. So you got to be impressed with that. However, it went on to How to Get Away with Murder, another Shonda Rhimes show. That came back at 10 with a 1 in the demo and not quite 4 million viewers. So that show seems like it's struggling.
That show, well, last season also the ratings were down. But yeah, the one thing about that show you have to remember, its star, you know, she, Viola Davis, she's an Oscar winner. She's an Emmy winner for that show. And
yeah.
it gives ABC a sense of critical prestige. So, and I believe it's in its fourth season, so it will have enough episodes for network. So logically it could end this season, but also remember ABC's losing Scandal.
Yeah.
That's going to be a big loss for them. So they're going to have to deal with not having Scandal. So we'll see what happens, but yeah, that was way down. That was way down for them. So they can't be too happy with that. They couldn't be.
Well, that whole thing's interesting, too, because so Scandal comes back this week at 9 o'clock. It's the final season of that show that stars Kerry Washington. It's in season 7. But then, you know, once all these shows wrap, then Shonda takes it all to Netflix, basically, right?
Yes.
She's already developing
yes.
for Netflix. So that was a whole interesting development where – for whatever reason, I don't know if ABC just couldn't match what Netflix was willing to give to Shonda, both probably financially and with freedom, that they just couldn't hold on to her.
Well, look at it this way. I mean, Shonda may be going to Netflix, but Grey's Anatomy's not going anywhere. I mean, you know,
no,
like
anything,
you said, it's
yeah.
in season. I mean, this show is easily going to be ER as the longest running medical drama. ER ran 15 seasons.
Oh, yeah.
And at this point, Grey's Anatomy is going to be the Gunsmoke of medical dramas. I mean, it just chugs along, season after season. Again, another show that pales in comparison to what it used to get, but it is still very respectable. So,
does
yeah,
not seem to be cast dependent at all. Like, people just come
no.
and go. It doesn't seem to matter.
And, yeah, exactly. I mean, it just roll every season after season. It just works for ABC, and they have so many other holes to deal with that this is something they don't have to worry about.
Yeah, that's true. All right, so now we're going to go to Friday. I'm sure there were other things on Thursday, but just to wrap it up, I'm going to go over to Friday. So here is a move that I just don't get. So ABC put Marvel's Inhumans on Friday at 8.
Yeah.
They did that whole thing with IMAX. But it opened to a 0.9 in the demo and 4 million, not even 4 million viewers. They killed Last Man Standing to create this sort of fantasy Friday night. And then they did the weird thing with Once Upon a Time and getting rid of most of the cast, as we talked about
right.
already. So what is ABC doing there? Do you have any insight into this?
Well, here's what I think is going to happen to ABC on Friday. I think it's very obvious. I think Shark Tank being on Sunday is temporary. I think once American Idol comes back, I think they'll ship Shark Tank back to Friday at 8 o'clock. That's what I think will happen. I'm assuming that ABC, look, you have Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. that's been on the air for 4 years, has a very small audience, but it does well in DVR usage, and you know, it's a social media hit. So I'm assuming ABC might have thought, well, if we put this new show here, it's not going to get traditional ratings, but it will get social media interest. And the viewers that are not home that would normally watch it, they'll just DVR it. So we'll just do that. So I knew it wouldn't get a large audience. And right. Then, of course, once it's only 10 episodes, then they put on Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. in that time period. And the whole thing with Once Upon a Time is this, look, this show is a dead show. They're not going to revive it, moving it to Friday. They're just putting it there just to really give it one final season. I don't see it lasting. But I think logically Shark Tank will move back to Friday and they'll have to build from there. But I honestly did not understand why they killed off Last Man Standing. I did not understand. It made no sense to me. Dr. Ken, okay. Okay, that was, you know, wasn't the greatest thing, but they had a sitcom hour into Shark Tank, and it was respectable. So they kind of dismantled a moderately successful evening.
Yeah. I mean, my own, I do not have reporting on this, but I sort of feel like Last Man Standing was probably more expensive than its ratings warranted. So,
you
know, it was produced by 20th, not by ABC. So there wasn't a big financial upside to keep Last Man Standing on the air. And 20th put Last Man Standing in syndication, and it does okay there. So for 20th, it would make sense to keep it. But for ABC, I don't think it matters to them.
Well, they didn't need to keep it on because they have enough episodes for Off Network. They already had enough. They had well over 100, so they didn't have to worry about that. But I think the whole idea of, you know, let's change Once Upon a Time and we'll pair it with a Mar, you know, it just did, the whole thing makes no sense. But again, logically, if you're putting a Marvel show or a comic book type show on a Friday, you're not going to get traditional ratings because you don't get them during the week on a higher HUT level. You just don't get them. So logically, the people that are out that would watch will DVR and they'll get the DVR number. So maybe that's what their thinking was, but to me, it's all temporary anyway.
Yeah, I mean, the only thing that seems to sort of work on Friday nights in a live plus same day kind of way is CBS lineup, which is, and it's not huge either, but it's MacGyver, Hawaii Five-0, and Blue Bloods. So that just kind of chugs along.
That chugs along. Look, the three shows also lost some steam, but they cater to the older male audience that CBS gets. And, you know, CBS is not going to change its strategy at this point. But what's going to be interesting is NBC's putting scripted dramas now on Friday. They don't grim anymore, and they needed something else. And they're hoping that they'll get some interest. But this is just a night that, unfortunately, year after year, it just is very, very difficult to program. And then you have a network like Fox that brings back The Exorcist, which nobody expected anyone to watch that. I mean, there was no reason to think, season two was going to be much stronger. I guess they needed a show. They already were producing it, and let's keep it on the air. But it's a tough night. It's a very tough night. And
right now at NBC, what they had last week was they repeated Law & Order: True Crime and Indus Murders, and then they had Dateline, a two-hour Dateline. So, I mean, NBC, that was like nothing.
Right. Listen, you have to remember way back when you had Dallas and Falcon Crest and Miami Vice and enormous night of television.
Right.
And year after year, thankfully, the networks have not abandoned it the way they have Saturday. And as long as CBS has Blue Bloods and Hawaii Five-0, they'll still have an audience, you know, so
I sort of wouldn't blame them for abandoning it in this world. I feel like with the net, we talked about this before too, but I feel like it would make sense for the broadcast networks to program less, because I think part what happens when we were talking about like Bull and those second season shows coming back and seeing their audiences drop off, I think a lot of times they're not new shiny anymore and they lose fans because they go check out other stuff and there's only so much time people have to go watch things. So in a way, I feel like, repeat stuff on Friday night because no one's watching anyway, and save yourself some money.
Well, exactly, but that's exactly what happened to Saturday. Saturday was an enormous night in the past, and you know, ultimately, and it's interesting because when Saturday finally, you know, when the last network to program Saturday was CBS, they had Walker, Texas Ranger, they had The District, they had those older male dramas that year after year kept resonating, and then little by little, it petered out, then they said enough already, and that's what Friday feels like, because I think once Blue Bloods ends, I don't think CBS is going to be able to find something that big again on a Friday. I think that's going to be a problem. But right now, it's still okay, and I think it's poised for another, you know, the older male audience watching TV on Friday nights, although I don't watch it, and I'm home Friday nights, so, but I'm not a Blue Bloods. I'm not into Blue Bloods. Not for me.
All right, so then we're skipping Saturday since we already discussed nothing happens on Saturday nights, and then Sunday. So for Sundays, I feel like basically what happens is, at least in the fall, it's all football and HBO. But you did have Ghosted premiere on Fox, Wisdom of the Crowd premiere on CBS, 10 Days in the Valley and on ABC. I would say Ghosted with, I'm not going to remember their names, Craig Robinson and Adam Scott. Hello, thank you. That show looked funny to me. Wisdom of the Crowd with Jeremy Piven was okay. I think 10 Days in the Valley, that's a Kara Sedgwick, was kind of DOA. But what was your take on those premieres?
Well, I agree about 10 Days in the Valley. That to me was the clinker of the new show. So that's only 10 episodes, so it's not going to be around. Even if it did okay, you know, they have 10 episodes and what have you. I thought CBS again, you know, it's always a little, it was a little difficult to kind of analyze because of the football overrun. But look,
yeah.
60 Minutes has the older audience. I was very surprised CBS put Wisdom of the Crowd immediately following the 60 Minutes. I thought it was risky, but it got sampled, and NCIS and, you know, Los Angeles does what it does. So I think Sunday, you know, football is football, and that's a huge fourth quarter for NBC. But outside of that, once you get into first quarter, it's becoming more typical for the networks, because again, Sunday is such a competitive night. Everybody, you know, cable and the digital the streamers, everyone's running their big shows on Sunday. How do you compete with Game of Thrones? But it's a tough
night.
Well,
there's only 6 more episodes of Game of Thrones. You don't have to worry about that too much.
Well, they'll have 100 spinoffs, though. They're going to keep spinning off. You know, they're not giving up on this franchise. But I think the real question about Sunday, which I wish somebody could answer for me, how many more years is The Simpsons going to run for? Who is still even watching that? It doesn't have an audience anymore. It hasn't for years. I mean, this show started in 1989, so let's do the math. We're in season 20. Is it 28? I mean, is it ever going to end? And that's the real question. I mean,
Mark. You don't need it to end.
But I mean, it has over 500 episodes, and I would prefer to see Fox, you know, pair The Simpsons with Family Guy and program 9 o'clock with something different. But it's a tough night Sunday. It's a tough night. It's, you know, football on NBC, and CBS is the older viewers, and ABC's hoping to get, you know, they put Shark Tank there. But listen, Shark Tank can't touch football. Not even Mark Cuban can compete with Sunday Night Football. So it's a tough night. It's a tough night. And then, of course, football ends, and it's back to square one for NBC. So it's a real tough night. It's not easy.
Yeah. So I'm just looking here at what NBC had. Football, let's see. So over on Fox, they still do a lot of animation. So they did Simpsons. That's a repeat. Bob's Burgers, Simpsons premiere, Ghosted, Last Man on Earth, which I'm amazed is still on. So, yeah, I mean, that kind of brings me to, I'll go to this, I want to talk a little bit about football ratings too, but I think what that brings you to is, if you look at where the networks themselves stand, and CW is not in this mix because they haven't premiered their stuff yet and they just operate differently, but among the big four networks, I feel like right now NBC is really doing well among them, followed by CBS, followed by ABC, and then Fox is really... I mean, other than that Empire Star 2 hours, like, not much is working on that network.
No, they're in trouble. But you know what? They'll never. You know, Fox has a way of getting people to believe that they're doing really well. They're not doing really well. They're just not. It's just, you know, it's just a fact of life. They are struggling. And then, you know, I'll be curious to see what happens with The Gifted. And They just unfortunately, they had really the biggest hit in decades with Empire. And, you know, really, when you rebuild the network, you have to start with one huge hit. And they were able to do that, but they really weren't able to capitalize on it. And now they're trying to by moving it to 8 o'clock. But I think ultimately, NBC has some really good stuff going on. I think CBS is, you know, got some sampling and had a good first week. I think ABC has a lot of holes, and they also had some positive things, and Fox is struggling. It's not easy.
I think Fox is definitely struggling. All right, and then I've done some cursory looks at football ratings. I'm not sure how well-versed you are in football ratings. But, you know, there's been reporting about the NFL being down this year. But from what I can tell, they're kind of flat. But what's your take on how the NFL is doing this year?
The NFL is doing okay. Listen, even if
ratings
are down.
Nobody crying for the NFL, right? They're fine. But
no.
Anyway.
Even if the NFL ratings are down, they're still solid. They're still big. It's still a large audience. There's still a lot of interest. So the NFL is absolutely fine. And I think it's relatively consistent so far. So, you know, I always thought the struggle with football, this goes back to when ABC was running it on Monday nights for all those years. They had a really good fourth quarter. And then, of course, football ended. It's like, well, what do we do now? We still have the rest of the year program. It was really hard to gain any traction because the minute you did, it was back. Football was back. I think football is fine, and I think sports are becoming more and more important to the broadcast networks. Look what sports did for Fox last year.
Yeah.
If it wasn't for that seven-game World Series, you know, if it wasn't for and the Super Bowl, if it wasn't for those events, their ratings really would have been down. But because they, you know, they had them, everyone, you know, thought, well, they're consistent, which wasn't the case. This year, it should be interesting because NBC has the Super Bowl, and what else? They have another big event. They have
the
Olympics, right? They have the Super Bowl and the Olympics. They could very well win this season in total viewers, which they don't normally
easily,
do.
Oh, easily, I think they will. Yeah, I think they'll easily win in total viewers.
I think sports is really, but I think sports is critical for a network. I think it's, you know, really important to have. And I don't think anybody should be losing any sleep about their football ratings. They're fine. They're absolutely fine.
No, they're fine. I think another thing that's happening with football, I mean, 2 years ago, I believe it was, they were sky high. And so they've fallen back a little bit, but I don't think they were going to maintain at that level anyway. And then the other thing that's happening is you see a little more fragmentation because you're starting to have people stream. You've got NFL Network. You've got different places for people to go watch. So, like, when CBS reports their football ratings, they'll report sort of in the aggregate all the places it aired and what the total numbers were. So I think also if you looked at it like that, you would see that probably they aren't particularly down at all.
No. So, you know, all power to them. But, you know, the thing about NBC is, yes, they'll have the Super Bowl. Yes, they have Sunday Night Football. Yes, they'll have the Olympics. But they also have other good things. It's not just sports, as opposed to Fox, which, you know, without sports and of course, Empire, they would really be looking pretty bad. Not even they could turn that around with the hype. You know, but I think football is fine.
I mean, Fox is a really good example. For so long, they had American Idol, and that was the ship that lifted, or the tide that lifted all ships, if you will. And then that show declined, and it went away. Now it's coming back on ABC. I don't think it will be the big hit that it was when it was the biggest hit it was on Fox. But I don't really think having American Idol on ABC is going to do anything to Fox, but it's just a good – and NBC had the same problem when it lost Friends and Thursday nights kind of went away. It's just incredibly hard to replace those shows.
It's very, very hard. Listen, CBS is going to face that when the Big Bang Theory ultimately leaves, because if they didn't have the Big Bang Theory this fall, you'd have to ask yourself, what would their Monday have looked like last week? I mean, how many viewers would Young Sheldon have had if it didn't lead out of the Big Bang Theory? So they're still coasting on – the Big Bang Theory, and the mistake that they have made, or really the obstacle, is they really have not found anything that they could replace it with. They're, you know, so because they couldn't, they went back to the drawing board and said, okay, let's do a prequel, and we'll call it Young Sheldon, and we'll capitalize on. So that's what they did. But, you know,
I think that's just being smart. You need to be able to take advantage, just like what you said with This Is Us and Law and Order, True Crime, and Indus, that if you're going to have This Is Us, you need to put something behind it that you want to capitalize on. And you're right. I don't think Menendez Murders is it, especially because it's basically a limited series. So wouldn't you be better off putting, you know, I don't think they have anything really in their arsenal this year that could do it, but let's pretend like The Brave was something amazing. Put The Brave behind it and build that show and that time slot. That's absolutely, you have to take advantage of those things when you've got them because they're rare.
Exactly. And listen, when they launched This Is Us last year, now again, this show stands on its own 2 feet.
Yeah.
You know, this could, I think it would have resonated, but it did lead out of The Voice and it did have that audience and the lead-in still matters. So if you're able to hammock a show and to give it that lead-in support that it will get sampled. You know, whereas CBS over the years has used the Big Bang Theory for, you know, like Life in Pieces and Mom and shows like that. But those shows never really took off into like monster hits. They ended up just being respectable. You know, I don't know if you remember, there was a show called The Millers that ran on CBS out of the Big Bang Theory. They gave it a second season simply because it had an audience at a Big Bang, and then it collapsed. So it's tough to do that. But you know, I think the unfortunate reality of this season, at least this fall, there is no This Is Us. There isn't that new show that just looked so amazing, and you just had to watch it. But I think we've seen some positive signs, and I think the moral of the story simply is broadcast television is not dead. So many people think it is. It is not. Not by a long shot. No way.
No, it definitely isn't dead. But it's also, it's a business model that needs some change. And I think you're seeing it to some extent, but you're also seeing that the power of broadcast when you have a show like This Is Us, then what NBC is able to do with that show. And even what it did with Will and Grace. So I think you have opportunities with the broadcast network that you don't necessarily have on cable networks or streamers in terms of just getting viewers.
I agree. I totally agree. But I look, I'm excited over these results. I think there's some good positive sampling. You know, I didn't see, other than 10 Days in the Valley, I didn't really see anything new that just looked so dismal in terms of the numbers. Although Ghosted wasn't great, but okay, it's out of the Simpsons.
Yeah,
now,
but it's
so.
Sunday Night on Fox, yeah.
It's Sunday Night on Fox. I mean, what are you going to put? What's going to resonate? You're not going to get it, you know, you're not going to bring in 10 million viewers out of whatever, but the mystery of
football.
Television is
yeah.
against football. But the mystery of television is The Simpsons. I mean, it's just going to keep running for,
right.
I mean, you know, that's what it is. When is it going to end?
There's so many mysteries of television. I don't, Simpsons is but only one of them. All right, the last
thing is. It's in season 28. Yeah, yeah.
Season 28, yes. The last thing is, okay, beyond everything we've already talked about, I know your love for Survivor. What are you watching right now that we didn't talk about that you're really digging?
Oh, that's a really good question.
I'm only asking because I have my answer ready. So, no, it can be on anything, broadcast, streaming, cable.
Okay, I'll tell you what I'm really digging, but I didn't dig the third episode, but I really like the first two episodes. I'm loving American Horror Story on FX, and I'm not a fan of, I'm not a gory, I don't like seeing all the gore and this, that, and the other thing. That show is so creatively brilliant, and I just caught up with it last night. I thought they went way too far with the gore level, but there's just something about that show that, wow, it just reels me in. So that's my addiction right now, American Horror Story. What's yours?
Mine is The Deuce on HBO, which I was a little, I mean, it's hard to ignore it. The creative auspices behind it are David Simon and George Pelicanos and James Franco and Maggie Gyllenhaal and many others. But I was initially like, yeah, maybe I'll check that out. And then I started watching it, and I think it's amazing. I think it's, I mean, it's Simon's best thing since The Wire, although I think the only intervening thing is Tremé, which was sort of a show without a story a little bit. But I like the storytelling on The Deuce. I think I'm a skeptical James. I'm not really a James Franco fan, but he's good. And Maggie Gyllenhaal is just peerless. She's, you just cannot take her eyes off of her. And I'm really enjoying that show. I think it's really good. And then I also watched, and I'm not a Curb fan, but I watched the 9th season premiere last night. And I did find it quite funny, although I don't know if you watched it, but there were two Larry David in the shower scenes. And I was like, that's probably all the Larry David in the shower scenes I ever need to
goodness.
See.
You know, I have to be honest. I was watching them. You know, they were running the marathon. They were running episodes from season 7 and 8. And I was catching up with it, and I was all excited. It's like, I'm going to watch it tonight. I have to be honest. I forgot it was on, so I have not seen
yeah,
it.
Yeah, but
it
doesn't matter. You can watch it anytime.
But Paige, I don't know if I want to see him in the shower. That's a little scary.
he's fine. He's very thin.
I just don't know if I, something I, oh, boy. But,
I mean, he does the thing, though. though, where, I mean, it's just like Seinfeld in a way, right, where he, like, launches these different storylines and interweaves them, and you can kind of see where they're going, and then he just wraps it all up in such a funny way.
Well, I'm going to watch it. I am going to watch it.
You should watch it. It was funny.
I'm going to enormously miss, you didn't ask this, but the show that I'm really going to miss that was a major addiction for me for 5 years was Bates Motel on A&E. I loved it, and so, of course, I'm going to have to keep checking out Freddie Highmore on The Good Doctor, you know?
Right, you can keep me up to date on that. But don't you feel like, I did not watch Bates Motel, but I feel like with that show, at least they told their story, and then they were done, as opposed to these shows
on... Oh, they were
on,
great.
Yeah, I mean, but their shows on, well, sorry, Showtime, but there's shows there where they just run and run and run, and you're like, they told, the story is over. Wrap it up.
Exactly. And they did that. They had 10 episodes a year for 5 seasons, and I thought they did a very good job respecting the original story, and I just thought it was really, really well done, and I am going to totally miss it. That was such an addiction for me every season. So we'll see, but that was just a really, really interesting show. And I'm looking forward now to the next episode of American Horror Story. We'll see what happens.
Right.
I just scare a lot of gore, a lot of gore.
I do not watch American Horror Story. I'm not a gore person. All right, we're gonna wrap it up here, but we'll see how this week of premieres goes. But Mark, thank you as always for joining me and really digging in on all these premieres. I always appreciate it.
My pleasure. My pleasure.
And have a great week.
You too, Paige. Take care.
We would like to thank Pest Motion Studio for sponsoring today's episode on Espanol and in English, on TV and online. In Chicago and in Buenos Aires, Pest Motion Studio designs for diverse audiences. Check out their animated spots and come say hola at www.pestlab.com. That's www.pestlab.com. Paige Albiniak is editorial director of Promax BDA. LaFern Cusack is executive producer of the Daily Brief podcast and senior producer at Promax BDA. Video helper provided the music. Digital producer Kate LaCaire-Marion and social media coordinator Kristen Craik contribute to Daily Brief. Follow Paige on Twitter at Paige A, follow LaFern at LaFern Cusack, follow Promax BDA at Promax BDA. You can reach out to us at dailybrief@promaxbda.org. Subscribe to the Daily Brief podcast on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks for listening.